For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with another episode of Non-League's longest running radio show now podcast. A slightly different feel again this week with Caroline Barker down under covering the Commonwealth Games, Dave Anderson stuck on the phone back in his managerial role, and Swampy still setting up his European base. So a few interviews with those in the know and those making the headlines coming up. But first, a look at some of the news from the non-league world in the past 7 days. At Billericay Town, top of the Isthmian Premier, owner Glenn Tamplin has again stepped away from the manager's role, leaving that to Harry Wheeler once more, at least until the end of the season, and next as well if Wheeler secures promotion. That's all from a 15-minute interview Tamplin did this week for the Billericay Town YouTube channel, the video entitled Glenn Tamplin Understanding Me. Certainly proving he's a unique individual, it's a compelling watch, whatever your views on what's been going on at Billericay in recent months, and an interesting use of social media for a man who has come off social media. Of course, it's not the only managerial change at non-league level. At Woking, Anthony Limbrick has left the club, with the Surrey side hovering above the National League relegation spots. Staying at the club is Limbrick's assistant and friend of the show, Jason Goodliff, who will be working under the guidance of Woking legend and director of football, Jeff Chappell. At Chester in the National League, lots more off-the-field changes, with Neil Young leaving his consultancy role and Marcus Bignot being told his short spell at the club will come to an end when this season finishes, whether the club stays up or not. At Stafford Rangers, Neil Kitchen and his assistant Nick Amos are in a similar position, leaving the club at the end of the season. And in the Isthmian League, after finding no buyer for the club, Thurrock FC have submitted their resignation to take effect from the end of the season, which may yet have an effect on the various promotion and relegations at Steps 3 and Step 4. Talking of promotions and relegations, there are still many games to be played, particularly in the lower leagues, with many announcing season extensions to help clubs complete their full league programme. The Midland Football League and the Southern Combination Football League are among those to announce season extensions by the time of recording this week's show, and the North East Counties League is expected to follow suit too. Okay, so the fight to stay in the National League has perhaps never been closer. With four down and less than a month to go, it's going to the wire. To help me understand the permutations and possibilities, David Richardson, online editor of the Non-League Paper, joins me on the line. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Tim.
You know, I'd say it's going to go to the wire. There's so many, I'd say, probably from 16th, Hartlepool United there at the moment, down. You know, anybody could really get embroiled into this fight now, couldn't they?
Yeah, they really could. I think just having looked at the run-ins over the last week, although there's only a month to go, there's still a lot of games against each other in that sort of bottom eight, like you said. There's still a lot to be decided, and even the likes of Hartlepool and Halifax, who are sort of at the top of that mini table, they could still find themselves dragged into it come the last couple of games.
Yeah, and it's sort of, you say about those clubs playing one another. You look at the weekend ahead. You know, certainly the 7th of April, you've got the big game, I'd suggest, probably Guiseley against Maidstone United. You know, Guiseley need to win this to keep their hopes alive. And Maidstone, it could be that win that just puts them, that would take them to 49 points. Maybe not quite enough to stay up, but it certainly it could have a massive impact on the rest of their season.
Yes, it certainly could. I mean, Guiseley Maidstone's one of the games this weekend. Like I said, if Maidstone were to win that, they're on 49 points, and then you would think that they would tick over into sort of 50-51, which should be enough. But elsewhere on Saturday, you've got Hartlepool against Solihull, which is another big one. Of course, Solihull have been much improved under Mark Yates over the past few months. They're on a great run at the moment, as have been Hartlepool under Matthew Bates, although they did lose last week against Guiseley. So there's still quite a lot to be decided. Leighton Orient against Barrow is another one. Barrow have one of the teams who have games in hand, but it's always better, and Eddie Pennock will know this better than anyone, that you know, you want points on the board. So again, you know, this weekend is going to be a big one.
Yeah, and you know, you're saying about the number of games that, you know, most clubs have got, what, five or six. You know, Barrow, I think, got seven to play. Guys, he's still seven to play. Mm. Before that, and it's going to come down to other you know, factors. You know, state of pitches and, you know, state of size of squad when you've got so many games to play in that month. And then you've got various other things going on behind the scenes at so many of these clubs as well.
Yeah, you do. I'm looking at sort of Chester and Torquay as sort of two examples. They've obviously had off-field issues during the season, and that hasn't helped them in their campaigns this year. Chester in particular, obviously raising £50,000 just to keep the club afloat. But again, like the other factors, like you say, Barrow haven't won at home since October. Woking haven't won away since October, and obviously Woking have just got rid of Anthony Limbrick, and Jeff Chappell's gone in there on a caretaker situation. So like you say, there's so many factors in this. And really, the more you look at it, you get confused about the picture because you can't really say too much which way it's going to go.
Yeah, and you mentioned Anthony Limbrick going there from Woking. Jeff Chappell stepping in. He's got Jason Goodliffe stayed on alongside him there. I mean, if Jeff Chappell keeps them out of that relegation zone, or they're two above it at the moment, you know, but only 3 points ahead of Solihull Moors there. I mean, if Jeff Chappell, he's already a non-league legend. I mean, what sort of size statue are they going to have to build at Woking if he keeps them out?
Yeah, quite right. I mean, obviously at Woking, he's a club legend there. He guided them into the conference for the first time. He won the FA Trophy three times there with them. He's still been involved with the club over the years as director of football. I mean, he's got nothing to lose, really. If he keeps them up, he's even more of a hero. And if he doesn't, then, well, you know, what could he have done in those five games? You know, Woking will see that situation as looking for the new manager bounce. You know, someone with sort of different ideas and someone who will set the team up in a different way. It is a shame for Anthony Limbrick that it hasn't worked there. He's a very nice guy. He's very enthusiastic, and he's put so much time into this season in trying to be a success. And they did have some success at the start of the season, but over the last sort of few months, they just haven't got the results. And sadly, the way football works, he's out of the job, unfortunately. But yeah, that's the thinking behind Woking there. The new manager bounce that will hopefully get them over the line.
And then you've got, you know, contrast, you've got Marcus Bignow at Chester, who's been told that he won't be at the club at the end of the season, but he's still going to be fighting to try and keep them up. I mean, they've got a bit more of a difficult task because they're rather set adrift there. So. And that's probably why that decision's been made. But you know, how's he going to motivate his players to make sure that they get the best out of him? Because, you know, someone like Chester this weekend, they're at home to Tranmere Rovers, who are also gunning for those spots in the playoff play. So, you know, they're going to, all the other clubs that are up the top of the league and are going to want Chester to have their best performance as well, just so that it's a competitive game for Tranmere to play.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like you say, it's been a tough season for Chester. They had that awful run towards the end of last season where I think they only sort of won once or twice, and really they were quite fortunate to stay up. I think if the season had continued for another couple of weeks, they might have gone down, and that very much continued to happen into this one under John McCarthy. Obviously, Marcus Bignow on paper has quite a good appointment for the club, but like I said, there's been off-field issues there. They've had quite a high turnover of players leaving the club. Also on the board there as well, Neil Young only came back last month. Obviously, he was the driving force behind Chester's revival when the club was reformed, winning three promotions in three seasons. But he's now left too. So it's all unravelling a bit for Chester there, and it's very difficult to see any sort of way back. for them this season. I think it's very important this summer that they get things right off the pitch and on it. Obviously, with Marcus Bignot leaving, it's another vacancy to fill. This Saturday, I mean, Chester did put in a much improved performance on Easter Monday at Macclesfield. They lost 1-0 there. But after losing on the Saturday against Torquay, that was the least they could do. I mean, Marcus Bignot is experienced. He'll continue motivating the side. And the problem is, it's when you've got five games like that and you're almost resigned to relegation, it's very difficult. And you have to feel for the supporters there, really. It's always so difficult supporting a club that's at the bottom and has had the trouble that they've had. So you just hope that in these remaining games, particularly the home ones, there'll be a great big crowd there on Saturday at the Diva Stadium for Tranmere. You just hope that they can put on some sort of performance for them.
Yeah, and then you're looking at the four clubs will go down, and you look at the next level down, the clubs that have gone in previous season. It's not an easy thing to bounce back from, is it?
No, it really, really isn't. The National League North, you look at it at the start of every season, you think, well, there could be 14 teams who are in with a shot of promotion, maybe even more. Obviously, the seven spots for the playoffs helps. It gives teams more of a chance of getting into that and having a shot at promotion. But like I say, it's not going to be easy at all. There's big spenders in that league. There's ex-Football League teams like Stockport who are in there. It's really not going to be an easy task at all. And that's why this summer, Chester have to get it right on and off the pitch. They need to sort things out, because otherwise you can go in that league and you can fall through like North Ferriby have done. So they desperately need to sort things out.
And we've got, just over 3 weeks left. And it all comes down to those final games. All kicking off at 12:30 p.m. this season on Saturday, 28th of April. Do you think that there's still going to be, certainly I would have thought, at least one, maybe two, maybe three relegation spots still undecided on that final weekend?
I think it's fairly safe to say that Guiseley and Chester are preparing for next season in the National League North. But certainly Torquay and Solihull are in with a good shout of staying up. I mean, Torquay's recent form under Gary Owers have won three of their last four and drew the other one. And Torquay's run-in's really interesting, actually. They've got three games on the spin, all against sides around them, Halifax, Hartlepool and Guiseley. So clearly, they're must wins, aren't they? And at the same time, you can drag others into the relegation battle as well. As I said, are in really good form over the last few months, and they looked dead and buried, I think it's fair to say, around December time. But again, they're playing Maidstone, Guiseley, and that's two games at home there, which you have to take 6 points from, really, if they're going to get out of it. So it's very far from done, I think, for the final two relegation spots. It's going to be really interesting to see, actually, what happens over these last few weeks.
So is the non-league paper towers in the office, is it like some sort of Churchillian war room at the moment as to what games are to be played? Bits of paper everywhere, post-its everywhere.
Yeah, well, obviously with the postponements in the last few couple of months, I'm not really sure we've quite seen weather like it, to be honest. I mean, there was a weekend about a month ago which there was only four games on across the whole of the non-league pyramid. So that was an interesting one. Scrambling around to try and fill the paper, but no, it's great to be. It's a really great time for the season, I think, at the end, isn't it? It's exciting. Obviously, you have the Wembley finals in May, which are always a great occasion. The National League playoff final and the FA Finals Day. So it's very exciting, and it's a pleasure to be able to follow it so closely, really.
What about yourself? We speak to your colleagues as well, and they get, particularly England C, they get to go abroad. And as an online editor, do do you ever get to go and get to watch a game and wrap yourself up warm and feel that atmosphere?
Yeah, I'm lucky on Saturdays that I get to be sent out of the office and file a report in from somewhere somewhere in the National League or across the non-league pyramid, sort of some game out there, which is great to be a great thing to do. And you see the benefit of that is you see a lot of different sides than perhaps if you were following one team, you'd see them for the majority. And so you get quite a good picture of the way things are playing out and also speaking to managers and players of that like. During the week, it's a bit different. I mean, you try and get out on the Tuesday evening as well. During the week, it's sort of head down and getting the news pieces done up on the website and Twitter.
And what a good job you do. Now, to put you on the spot here, you've already suggested that Chester and Guys are already prepared. But do you think it's still going to be Solihull and Torquay in those final two spots, or do you think someone else might get dragged in and drop down?
I think I've been thinking for a while. I'm already beginning to change my mind in the middle of this answer. I've been looking at Torquay, and the thing is that they've escaped on the last couple of seasons. Now they're on this run with Gary Owens. You just sort of maybe think they might do it again, but I'm just beginning to feel that maybe they've left it a little bit too late. So my pick was Guiseley, Chester, Torquay, and then I really fancy Solihull to get out of it. I just think the way they're going, they seem to be really have the momentum with them and confidence. And I think the final place is between Woking and Barrow. Barrow have the games in hand, but like I said, their home form really hasn't been good, and you have to rely on that at this stage of the season. Woking, I think it all depends on what sort of reaction Jeff Chappell can get out of the team. Their run-in's difficult. They've got Maidenhead away, Bromley at home, Guiseley away, Dover at home. So that's not easy at all. It's between those two. At the moment, I would say Woking, just because of their form they're in. It's very difficult to see where the sort of 6 points that they're going to pick up to get themselves out of it. So Woking, Torquay, Chester and Guiseley would be my guess.
Well, I won't hold you to it at the end of the season, but it's been great talking to you again, David, and really appreciate your input, and look forward to seeing how it all pans out at the end of the season.
No problem, Tim. Thanks very much.
So, in National South, it's very much all to play for. Having a Waterlooville top on 71 points, Dartford second on 68, but one game in hand still for Dartford there, and all the way down to 10th in that division, Bath City. They're looking for playoff spots. One club in form and in the current seventh final playoff spot is Welling United. And joining us on the line is Tristan Lewis, Director of Football there. Good evening, Tristan.
Evening, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, good. Well, you must be pretty good as well. A very decent 1-1 draw with Hampton and Richmond Borough this week. But I think a late deflection, so maybe a disappointing result at the end?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we would have taken a point before the game, but the way the game went, we felt we were fairly dominant, 11v11, and then Jack Jebb, who's been excellent for us, got sent off a second yellow when we were 1-0 up. And just, you know, they're a good side, Hampton, especially at home. I don't think they've lost at home since October. And we thought we'd done enough. We got through to the 96th minute, and Brendan Keenan said a deflected effort right at the end. It was a big deflection as well. So although it sort of broke our hearts a little bit, you know, we have to take a massive belief from it. And we've been 8 wins in 11 before that. So we're certainly in a good place. And I think if anything, as disappointing as it was on Monday, we can take a lot of positives out of it moving into what is a massive game for us on Saturday against Havant.
Well, that's I mentioned that the informed side, you mentioned your current form there, but you know, up against Havant, the table toppers at the weekend. And I think Hemel next week, who are just above you in the playoff spot. So, you know, not an easy run in, but if you're in form, you've got to feel that you've got a very good chance of certainly making those playoffs and getting a high spot so you get a decent draw in that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of ups and downs throughout the season at the football club. And we literally started from scratch in the summer, brought in a whole new squad, new manager. And it took us some time, but I'd have to say we probably feel that we're as strong as we've been all season right now. And I think that anybody, any manager and any sort of senior football person would tell you that's the best time to be strong. So we beat Havant earlier in the year. They're a good side. They've got a winning mentality, obviously, from getting promoted last year. And Lee's done a fantastic job there, and we really respect them as a team and him as a manager. But you know, I think we've got to fancy ourselves, and there's so many good teams trying to vie for those playoff spots that you have to have that belief, and hopefully the form that we're in will continue. But we all know that football's a funny game, and in a week's time it could be looking very different. We could be sat in 10th with a lot to do. So it is very much one game at a time, and just making sure the lads are focused, we're disciplined, and we've been excellent away from home, and now we've got a couple of home games, so we really do need to improve our home form, and hopefully that starts on Saturday.
You mentioned, I mean, it is so tight there, and one other levels below are looking at extra promotions this season with the new levels coming in, new divisions coming in. You know, you've got, what, seven clubs, nine clubs really vying for those last playoff spots. Is it all about mindset at this time of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you'd have to say that the titles between Havant and Dartford. I went to watch when our game was called off the other day against Bath, who I went to watch play at Hemel the other night, both two very good sides. We went to watch Hampton versus Dartford, and Dartford look like they've just got the bit between their teeth. And, you know, Alfie Paveyu, as we must at the beginning of the season, is a great young player. He's done fantastically well. I think he's got 23 goals now. When you're getting 94th minute winners at this time of the year against your sort of title rivals, you know that there's big momentum with them. So I think those two are going to be fighting out for the top. But, you know, mindset is huge, and I think we've just got a real good confidence and a real good desire. And I think one of the most important things we've got in our group at the minute is everyone trusts each other. You know, we trust the players implicitly. They all know their jobs. We've settled on a way of playing which suits us. Mark Goldberg, the owner, really backed us by allowing us to bring Adam Coos back to the club, who is an exceptional forward at that level. And, you know, he got 34 goals at Welling last year in what was pretty poor side before moving on to Sutton. He's come back and hit the ground running. So, yeah, mindset, belief. But I'm pretty sure if you ask anybody at those other clubs, they'd all be saying the same thing. You know, everybody's going to want to make it and do their utmost to get there in the end, because the rewards are so high, but there's not that many, you know, opportunities for success with only one going up, and the new playoff format giving everybody that little bit of hope. But ultimately, there's going to be a few more disappointing clubs at the end when they don't get there.
Yeah, and then if you do get there, you look, there's plenty of clubs up in that National League, in that next level, suffering financially and struggling just to get through to the end of the season. You know, do Welling have the resources to stay up and compete as well at that next level?
Yes, and we've you know, I said we completely rebuilt the football club, really, from a football point of view in the summer. There's been some new investment this year, and I think it's got to be a fairly prudent approach, because you do see so many clubs, you know, getting into difficulty, and we're not stupid. We know that Mark backed us in bringing Coombsy in, so we've got to deliver on that, and we've already had the discussions that, you know, if, and it is a big if, we were to be successful, there wouldn't suddenly be potfuls of money that you know, we can go and flash about. I think any club at that level, like a Welling and most of the clubs there, you've got to have sustainable platforms. And, you know, we've tried now to build a successful academy and try and get things right off the pitch. But ultimately, all we can do as a football club and as a management team and a group of players is focus on the next game, and that is Saturday. And that's as far as our minds go at the minute. And I think that's the right and only way to go about it, really.
Yeah, and you mentioned the management team. Obviously, Jamie Call there as a player manager. How does that work out at National League South?
I've got to say, on Saturday, I mean, Coyle's put in some fantastic performances this year. On Saturday, he was wearing a robe and stuff. He was magnificent on Saturday. You know, I said to him afterwards that from a player's point of view and a manager's point of view, he was a real leader of men on Saturday. And even coming off the pitch, listening to their staff talking to him, he was magnificent. It's worked really well. I have to say that. You know, I didn't really know Jamie before we met him in the summer, and straight away you just got the feel that he was going to be successful. He's very good, very diligent, very organised, fantastic coach, which is important. But I think what I've seen in my role, obviously, being able to look at it from a slightly different angle, is I've seen Jamie grow over the year. He's a lot more ruthless and a lot more pinpointing what he wants now. And I think that, you know, given the chance, whether it's with Wedding or somewhere else, he's going to go on to be a Football League manager, no question in my mind. He's an exceptional exceptional lad doing it. You know, the lads really respect him. And what's key is they will enjoy playing for him. And he leads by example on and off the pitch. So, you know, he's the great. And it's all, you know, we've got Jack Parkson as well, who is a player coach. So there's times where they're both playing. They were both on the pitch the last 20 minutes on Saturday. So, you know, I'm in the touchline shouting the nuts off on the side and those who are on the pitch. But sometimes it's me and Jack. Sometimes it's me and Jamie if Jack's playing. But going back to what I said before, I think it's just that degree of trust that we're all singing off the same page. And I think that's really working well for us at the minute.
And you think that playing role for Jamie and for Jack then obviously helps that building that unit and, you know, same mindset and working together as a team because, you know, the gaffer's really mucking in, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Saturday he's throwing his body in the way of, you know, blocking things in the line and putting his head on the line. And I think that the other lads can't not take from that on the pitch. And we've got some young players in our group who are looking up to him now and seeing the way that he's looking after himself on and off the pitch and the leadership qualities he's come into. I mean, he stepped out of playing for a while. We made a decision. We went on a really poor run of form just before Christmas and we had to shave quite a bit of money off of the budget and make some changes to the backroom staff. And Jamie sort of took a slightly more managerial role. But then Jack, he got a knock and a few suspensions. He's come back in and he's been fantastic. So, you know, we won't let him drop himself at the minute because he's playing so well on the pitch. But the beauty of that is, like you say, the other players, he has the opportunity on the pitch to do something about it. There's so many managers on the side that don't have a chance to do something about it, whereas he can. And on Saturday, for example, the mentality of the team, you know, really digging in difficult conditions with 10 men, he was at the forefront of that and his testament to the team. And, you know, it's also, I think, good that he can come in and have a slightly different angle on it. Me and Jack, if we're on the side, we'll have what we see, but he'll also have a different viewpoint from on the pitch and a different feel for it. So, at the moment, it's working for us. You know, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but while it's working for us, it's certainly our cup of tea.
And you say about building the club, the club's changing and things like that. Yeah, averaging 540 or over 540 at home in the league, it looks like the community are getting behind you as well.
Yeah, you know, listen, any football club, the supporters come out and support them when you win in football matches, and that certainly helps. You know, there's a lot of plans in the offing for next year to improve that from a community perspective. You know, there's new people coming on board, new directors that are really going to drive that forward. So there is a lot of work going on behind the scenes that we're really excited about. And as I said, you use the mantra that you're trying to build a football team, but we're also trying to build a football club. And I think that moving forward, if we can get up this year, fantastic, we'll go from strength to strength. But if not, we'll be in a better position next year than we are this year. So, you know, it's all that growth mindset and, you know, it's a fairly young staff, it's a fairly young team. And now I think what Mark's put in place behind the scenes is a really driven team off the pitch just to try and build that up, improve attendances, improve the community element, you know, continue to drive the academy moving forward, get more young people in through the gates, because that's the lifeblood of any football club. So, you know, yeah, it's nice, it's positive, but, you know, it can all change very quickly in football, and suddenly if we get bad results against Havant and Hemel, you know, the feeling can turn. But I think we're all on that even keel now where you can get a few poor results. But what the team has done really well is always, since Christmas, we've managed to bounce back very quickly. You know, we've never lost a game and then drawn a game or lost a game and lost another game. We've always bounced back with a win. And I think that's, as I said, going back to that mentality proves that there's a lot of hunger, desire and ambition to get where we want to get to.
Well, two big games coming up, so we wish you well in those and for the rest of the season. And thank you for joining us, Tristan.
No problem. Thanks to all the rest.
Well, those of you that may have been looking at the news this week in non-league would have seen the issue that Biggleswold Town FC have suffered with three goalkeepers signed on, two unavailable due to injury, and a third just unavailable. And it led to the captain having to go in goal for their most recent game. And got Chris Nunn, the manager at Biggleswade Town, on the line and joins us. Chris, it's a fairly unusual situation for a club like you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, we're obviously we've done a few things wrong ourselves. You know, we didn't get all the facts together before we went to the league, and when we did, it's been a bit bitty. So it's only ourselves to blame. But yeah, it's a bit frustrating on Saturday not having a full team and a goalkeeper.
Three goalkeepers signed on at Biggleswade Town. Yes. Your first man, Liam Gooch, he's got some broken fingers. Sam Donkin has got a hamstring injury. Then you've got your third choice goalkeeper, who I think you originally thought was in Poland, but Boris Dubicki's come out and said, no, he's not, he's local. But I don't think you'd seen him since the opening of pre-season, had you?
No, we haven't seen him since pre-season. To be fair, it's just a mix-up from our end. I don't know where the rumour started or how it started. And we didn't have his number. In truth, he didn't really make the grade in the summer. So,
You aren't the only club just to sign on players at the start of the season so you can...
No. So it's pre-season as well. So, you know, you try and get lads to sign on in case they surprise you. And then, but I never had his number. So when I got his number on the Thursday, I phoned him as soon as I managed to get it. He was obviously upset and said he didn't want to play for me anymore because of what happened in the summer, which is understandable, you know. And then we contacted the league on the Friday as soon as we knew that he was in the country and that. So we were not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes, but, you know, everyone's looking for their 15 minutes, aren't they? So, but yeah, you know, we should have cancelled his registration, but then Sam has hurt his shoulder. He's out for a minimum of 6 weeks. He's got to go for a scan. And obviously Liam's had an operation on his hand, got pins running through his hand. So, but if I'm being honest, you know, we didn't really cover ourselves in glory with the league. So I don't blame the league for not at the beginning, up to now, not sanctioning us to sign a goalkeeper. But I'm hoping now that we've got all the facts together and it's factual, not rumoured. Hopefully they might change their mind.
So you're still waiting for the league to confirm whether you can have special dispensation. I think the 22nd of March, it seemed to be an earlier cut-off this year as well for the Southern League to sign players.
Yeah, it did. And to be fair to our secretary, he's had a lot going on in his personal life. And also, it's a voluntary position. There's no training given to anybody about it. And should we have cancelled the registration of Boris? Yes, we should have done. Did we? No, we didn't. We won't be the first team to make that mistake. We're not the first team, so we won't be the last. But we'll learn from it. You know, as a manager, could I have signed on another two or three goalkeepers? It's so difficult for non-league clubs to keep more than one goalkeeper happy, if I'm being honest, because they all want to play. You know, and there is a sticking point with the league, because with a goalkeeper or an outfield player, if you haven't dual registered, he's at another club. In truth, you should have to put a 7-day approach in. So if he's on a loan, it's a bit different. But these guys are dual registered, so you know it's a bit difficult. But you know, we'll have to see see what happens. So,
but you did have a fairly decent standing in the form of Craig Daniel, your skipper. From by all accounts, he played a bit of a blinder in your 1-1 draw at the weekend.
He did, yeah. Craig's a great lad. He's been with me 7 years. So, you know, I could ask him to play anyway. He'd work behind the bar for us if he could. You know, he's a great lad. And he's also a very good player. So, problem being, we are missing a good player outfield as well. But he did have a slight knock with his knee. So, he probably wouldn't have been able to have started on Saturday. So, the injury sort of made our mind up to play him in goal, because, like I said, he wouldn't be able to play at field. So, he's done a great job, you know. And, yeah, you know, he's a great lad. So, if needs be, I know he'll do it again for us.
And what about this weekend then? Is his name penciled in at the moment? You're still hoping for special dispensation?
Yeah. No, I don't think anything's going to happen for the weekend. But Craig, he's got this knee problem, so he's getting treatment tonight. So it's a bit of a curse on our number one shirt at the moment. So I don't see many people queuing up if Craig's injured. So, but we'll see tonight at training. He'll get some treatment and we'll go from there.
But the response via Twitter seemed to be very good. You must have the names and numbers of more goalkeepers than anybody else for the start of next season.
I know, I keep saying to him, we have to have you registered. And God bless them all, they keep sending messages to us. And I'll try to reply to as many as I can, but it's so difficult because you feel like you're constantly repeating yourself. So, but yeah, we've got to have one registered. And like I said, hopefully, if the league don't give a special dispensation, then we've got no one to blame but ourselves. So, you know, we've got to be realistic.
And you're fairly safe mid-table. Seeing the season out. Do you think it would have been different? Had you been up there, maybe pushing for the playoffs, would you maybe jumped up and down a little bit more? Or
well, the only reason why we're jumping up and down as much as we are because we've got to play Hereford, who are 4 points clear at the top. We might need to beat us to win the league. We've got to play Dunstable, who are fighting relegation. We're playing Slough, who are fighting for a playoff spot. So, you know, in a way, it's other teams who are going to be a disadvantage have already played us. Listen, like I said, we'll learn from our mistakes. That's all you can do in life, isn't it? Learn from mistakes and hopefully don't repeat them.
Non-league football's all about learning. That's what it's all about.
Definitely.
And you've been in your role probably longer than the most other managers. Is it 11 and a half years you've been there?
Yeah, 11 and a half years, yeah. It's been a long time. So.
And how's the non-league game changed over that time?
The players have changed. Their mentality has changed. They think they're a lot better than what they are, if I'm being honest. There's not as much loyalty. I mean, don't get me wrong, you still get some good lads, and we've got some good lads, but it's certainly changed a lot, you know, in the time I've been at Biggleswade. So not necessarily all for the better, but some things are for the better. But there's a lot more game management involved now, a lot more kidology, you know. I would use the word BS. That's what I find in football at the moment. There's a lot more of that on the pitch and off it.
Yeah, and obviously, reorganisation next year with so there'll be some different clubs coming into the division that you'll be in next season. What's the plan for next season? Is it
at level three for us? It's always going to be survival. You know, we finished seventh last year. We lost all our best players to bigger clubs. You know, we've got the second lowest average in the league. So, you know, we've got to be realistic, but you know, we'll always try and get a competitive team out, and that's what we try and do, be as competitive as we can and try and win as many games as we can. So that won't change, you know, whether we're in a central, local or central, national, you know, we'll always give 100%.
Yeah, and what about the rivalry with Biggleswade United? That's sort of, they've obviously got a lot more of the headlines in recent years. Is there a bit of banter that goes on between the two clubs?
Biggles who? Listen, when I came to the club, they were above us in the league. So the fact that we're two leagues higher than them, they're not on our radar at the moment. That's not said big time, but that's just being honest. You know, we've got St Neots, Hitchin, Bedford Town, who are recruiting as well. So we've got a lot of clubs on, you know, on our doorstep as well as Biggleswade United. But no, it's friendly banter. That's what I would say. You know, it is friendly banter. We play them every pre-season. We always beat him as well, so it's friendly banter.
And that's what non-league's all about. Well, thank you for joining us, Chris. Appreciate your time, and I hope to speak to you soon. And maybe I'll be able to pick up a couple of goalkeepers from you, or a couple of numbers from you.
Look forward to it.
Take care. Thank you, mate.
Take care. Cheers. Bye.
That's it for this week. Thanks, as ever, to all of our guests, and of course to everybody that listens. Hopefully we'll be back with a bit more of a standard show next week and some additional co-hosts as well. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio. And if you want to put our podcast on your website, check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com, where you can grab an embeddable player for free. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA